From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Noah Adams. We take time every Thursday to hear from you, to read from our listener mail.
Michael Carvan of Milwaukee sends this. Your report on racism in Cincinnati was right on. I've lived in both Kansas City and Milwaukee, and I lived in Cincinnati for more than 6 years until 1999, and never have I felt racial tension so strong. When the riots erupted last April, I was not surprised. I felt concern for the families living in Over the Rhine, a neighborhood full of history, great old architecture, and people struggling for an opportunity to better themselves. I am white and often walk through that neighborhood, always without fear of retribution for the color of my skin. The same cannot be said for a black man walking the streets of suburban Cincinnati.
Rick Monkowskis of Encinitas, California says, It is rare when I really detest what you do. The Cincinnati story is such an instance. You are back to your mantra of race, gender, and class. When we have an opportunity to face the same direction and face a common enemy and put our differences behind us, you have dug up the past in detail and smeared it all over the air.
From Shirley Ragsdale of the Des Moines Register, I can't tell you how thrilled I was when I heard the segment about Eileen Shanahan, a crusading journalist who showed the way for women in our profession. I am deeply saddened by her death, but I will treasure her memory and your attention to a very special woman. She was the best editor I've ever met.
However, Sheila Michelson of Hamden, Connecticut says, I was taken aback by Nan Robertson's words describing Eileen Shanahan. Ms. Shanahan was half Irish, and Ms. Robertson stated that this Irish background showed up in her outburst of temper directed at the management of the New York Times. I could not understand how ATC had allowed such misguided remarks about any ethnicity to be aired.
From Dr. Gary Bloom of Bothell, Washington, as a physician, I was truly appalled by Robert Siegel's interview on internet pharmacies and their role in allowing the American public to obtain ciprofloxacin inappropriately. Tanya Malik, the CEO of an internet pharmacy, explained why she thought it was appropriate for a company to sell Cipro over the internet to people worried about anthrax. The only effort Mr. Siegel made during the entire interview to question the medical soundness and public health implications of this practice was to briefly quote AMA guidelines about internet prescribing. These guidelines were brushed aside by Ms. Malik with the ridiculous claim that her internet pharmacy exceeded AMA guidelines, including the claim that the necessity of examination of patients was more than adequately met by having the patient fill out an online questionnaire, which was reviewed by a physician who had never met the patient and had no other access to any record on the patient. This report basically was an infomercial for internet pharmacy prescribing of ciprofloxacin without any informed opinion about why this practice is dangerous.
And finally, this from Barbara Rush of Tulsa, Oklahoma. On Wednesday, I learned from your interview with Keith Kendrick that sheep are able to remember faces. The next logical step is to show sheep pictures of known terrorists and put them to work in airport security. Let Congress debate over whether they will be federal or private employees.
Thanks to all for writing. The email address is atc@npr.org. And please remember to tell us where you are writing from and how to pronounce your name, and also give us a daytime phone number.